Well, good morning, church family. It is just an awesome joy to have you all here with us. And to be honest, I almost feel like there's not much else I can say. Just after Joseph's offertory and Lauren's children's message and then the music and worship and prayer, man, I almost will say, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next week. But I do know that God has given me some words. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles back up to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. And if you're here for the first time, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It is the greatest sermon, or many people call sermons, ever preached. And it's right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus started his ministry, and he began to travel all around the Sea of Galilee, and he was starting to call out his apostles to follow him. He began to teach and preach with unbelievable power and anointing. He began to heal people. And because his words were with authority and power, the people flocked to him. Because he was healing and setting people free, and because he was truly giving life to people, it says in Matthew 4 that the multitudes followed him. And when he saw the multitudes, it says he climbed up this mountain, he sat down, and he began to preach. And as we've looked at Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6, one of the strongest messages that Jesus is trying to convey is that God looks at the motivations of our hearts. And last week, we were looking at storing up treasures in heaven. And one of the challenges I asked all of us is, where are your treasures? What do you truly treasure and value most? Because whatever we treasure, our heart will follow. And so may we truly store up treasures in heaven. Today, we're going to look at priorities. And we're going to look at probably one of the most well-known verses in all of Scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So right here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, listen to what Jesus says. He says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. I'm going to stop right there. Don't worry. How many of you all worry? What do you worry about? I worry. I worry all the time. I even looked up this week, like, what are the top 10, top 20 things that humans worry about? Well, it's almost everything. Life itself, money, finances, future, job, spouses, children, parents, diet, becoming old. People even worry about the fact that they worry. Now, I don't want to make light of it because in all honesty, during this pandemic, many of us, our whole lives have been turned upside down. And when we don't feel secure, when we don't feel sure about our lives, about our future, especially if we've had loved ones get sick or unfortunately maybe even pass away and die, or if we've been let go of our job, or that we're not sure if our job is still there when we go back. I mean, some of us are dealing with huge, heavy burdens, and it does cause us to worry. But Jesus says right here, he says, don't worry about your life. Something else I found out this week, just looking at the studies about worry, that scientists, psychologists have studied, and they found out that 95%, say it, 95%, 95% of the stuff and things we worry about never come to fruition. They never come to pass. Technically, 91% never comes to pass. Another 4% isn't nearly as bad as what we thought it would be when we were worrying about it. Think about that. 95% of the stuff that you and I worry about never happens. Unbelievable, no? But Satan has us spinning like a top, chasing our tails, consumed with many things that we worry about. Jesus says right here, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. He goes on to say here in verse 26, he said, consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Verse 27, can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and it's thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of a little faith? So don't worry, saying what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. A couple things right here. Jesus gives us a couple commands. First and foremost, he says, don't worry. And then he says, consider. We're not to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to drink. And those are the basic necessities of life. If we do not eat and if we do not drink, if we're not truly covered, we will die. But unfortunately, as North Americans, many of us really worry about what we want and not necessarily our needs, or we worry about both. And we're consumed with so much worry and fear and anxiety. And to be honest, anxiety and fear for many is a huge issue, and we truly need professional spiritual help. But did you know that the Bible talks has over 365 commandments about don't worry, don't fear? How many? 365. You didn't know you were going to have a math class today, did you? How many days are in a year? In Spanish, we call that a diosidencia. It's a God thing. It's a coincidence. Over 365 commandments in Scripture about don't worry, don't fear. Another question I have for you. I don't know if you realize this, but many people, when they read the Bible, they'll like underline verses or words, or they'll circle a word or mark out a phrase that really speaks to them. All throughout Scripture, people do that, and they write in their Bibles little footnotes and stuff. Guess what verse is marked most in the Bible? It's Philippians 4, 6 and 7, where Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That verse, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, is the most marked and underlined verse in all of Scripture. If so much of the Bible talks about fear and worry and what Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, why do you worry? And Jesus uses these two examples, birds. The birds of the air. During this time of being safe at home, I've spent a lot of time on my front porch and my back porch, and I've watched so many different kinds of birds. And reading this passage, it's really made me think, wow, they truly don't worry about where they're going to get their food, and they're fed every single day. Jesus also uses the description of lilies, wildflowers out in the field. And he compares them to King Solomon. And King Solomon was the greatest, wealthiest, smartest king of all the kings of Israel. He was King David's son. And when he rose to power, Israel was its greatest, its strongest, its largest kingdom that it ever was. And Solomon was wise beyond his years, and he was unbelievably wealthy. And Jesus says, the lilies of the field are adorned more and far greater than Solomon was in all of his splendor. And then Jesus goes on to say, he goes, if you think God doesn't clothe the lilies which are here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he care for us? And that's the question. These little birds, very insignificant in all of creation, and yet God knows when they fall to the ground and dies. God feeds them. And basically Jesus is saying, if my heavenly Father will take care of the birds and if he clothes the lilies of the field, how much more will he do for you? It says here that we are worth more than the birds of the air. How much are you worth? How much are you worth? Every drop of the precious blood of Jesus. That's how much you are worth. You were created in God's image. Scripture says that he tattoos us on the palm of his hand. Now, that's all figuratively, but how many times do you look at the palm of your hand every day? When God, he sees us and he desires us, and we are so precious, we are so worthy, and it's not because of what we've done, but it's because of who God is and how much he values us. We are worth far more than anything we could possibly imagine. Not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, but because God declares it. And if he promises that he will take care of us and provide for everything that we need, what's our response? Here in verse 33, Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. The command for us, our response to our Heavenly Father who knows everything that we need, and he promises to provide everything that we need, not necessarily want. And we do need to take the whole counsel of Scripture, and Scripture is very clear. We live in an awful, godless, sinful, broken world. We have an enemy, Satan, who hates us and he wants to destroy us. We live in a world that is utterly infected with sin. And so we will suffer. We will be tempted and tried. We will go through incredible loss. But that doesn't mean that God does not love us nor care for us, because he promised he will sustain us. And scripture is very clear that this life is nothing but it's an opening and closing of the eyes. It's just a breath. We're like the lilies of the field, here today, gone tomorrow. And in light of eternity, this is just a quick blink. But Jesus calls us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And when we do that, when we make Jesus, when we make his kingdom our very first and uttermost important priority in our lives, everything that we need, he promises to give. He promises to provide. And then Jesus finishes here. He says in verse 34, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. There's that command again. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So why do we invite more problems? Now, that doesn't mean we don't plan ahead. We should plan ahead. We're called to plan ahead. But we're also called to live in the moment right here, right now, trusting him, seeking his face. So in closing, I want to invite the worship team to come back up. In closing, what is our response? Our response is this, and I have a bunch of questions for you. The first one is this. Are you seeking God and his kingdom and his righteousness first and foremost above all things in your life? Last week, we looked at what we treasure, because whatever we treasure, our heart will follow. Today, it's about priorities. And are you seeking him and him first and his righteousness above everything else? If you're not, I want to encourage you to do so today. Bow the knee and surrender everything about your life to Jesus. The second thing is this. Are you carrying heavy anxiety and worry? For some of us, we actually need professional help. Mental health is it's a true issue, and we need help. We need others to walk with us. We also need the church body to walk with us and encourage us. We can't do it alone. But also, too, for most of us are consumed with anxiety and worry and fears. And like I said at the beginning, 95% of those worries that we have will never come to pass. So right now, what are you worried about? Why are you worried about it? Whatever comes to mind right now, and Trevor, you can go ahead and start playing if you don't mind, just to underscore. Whatever you're worried about right now, I want to encourage you right now, lay it at Jesus' feet. Confess it to him. You can say, Jesus, I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my finances. I'm worried about getting sick. I'm worried about reopening and us getting back together. I'm worried about my mother. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my wife, my husband. I'm worried about next year in school. I don't know what's going to happen. Lay it at Jesus' feet and then ask him to give you the strength and power to surrender it to him and to give you the strength and power to seek first his kingdom, trusting in him that our Heavenly Father will provide everything that you need. Because when we seek him and his kingdom and him first, everything that we need, our Heavenly Father, who loves us more than we could possibly imagine, will give us, will sustain us, will walk with us. Let's close with this song of worship and praise.